الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، it's a Friday morning, specifically the 2nd of Muharram, 14:30. Are you sure?
Yes.
Which corresponds to the 16th of November 2012. Now, first and foremost, I would like to say to all of you, no Happy New Year. Okay? Because there's no such thing. There's no such thing. We know in Islam that our deeds are presented before Allah Azza wa Jal every Monday and Thursday. And we know that they are presented as well on the day of Laylatul Qadr. Right? And which is on annual basis. So we don't have anything to the effect of us creating this kind of accountability mode on the last of the year, which you start getting emails and Khatib will give a khutbah and it's the end of the year, beginning of the year, check yourself, O slave of Allah, what have you done, you know, blah 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 blah. And there's no such thing, because this is not a time for us to be doing this kind of reflection, because our deeds are not being presented to Allah and all this is insignificant in the sight of Allah, because He didn't reveal anything in regards to it. The best we can say is that we got this from the Christians. They have the new year and we want to have our new year, but we don't have such a thing. So, you know, save yourself the headache of sending messages and emails and SMS and WhatsApp to people. And you know, just act like nothing happened. Yesterday was the year. And the best joke I got actually in regards to this one is a person sending a message that says, do not go to the bathroom at 11:59. Because if you do, you will go out the next year. That's it. That was a good one, huh? Yeah, other than that, it's all gravy. طيب. Naam, so we are discussing the same ayah, ayah number 6 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is an ayah that breaks down the wudu and the ghusl and the matters of purification prior to engaging in an act of worship. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di alayhi rahmatullah had managed to deduce around 51 benefits from this particular ayah, benefits and rulings and wisdoms. And we had been sharing them, alhamdulillah. And I believe we stopped at 33. الثالث والثلاثون أنه مع وجود الماء ولو في الصلاة يبطل التيمم. نعم, no, we did that. الرابع والثلاثون أنه إذا دخل الوقت وليس معه ماء فإنه يلزمه طلبه في رحله وفيما قرب منه لأنه لا يقال لم يجد لمن لم يطلب. 34th is, if the time has entered and he has no water, then it becomes obligatory on him to seek it. To seek it, whether it in his own accommodation or in that which is near to him. In his own accommodation or an area which is near to him. Because we cannot say he did not find if that person did not look or seek. Yani only after you see, if, and we gave an example that we can all relate to, where the example, you cannot say, I did not find, if you say to your friend, I couldn't find a job. I couldn't find a job. He tells you, where did you look? Oh, I didn't look. Did you go out to different places? Did you put an ad in the magazine? No, nothing. But I couldn't find a job. Then you say, you cannot say you did not find a job until you have looked for a job, then you say you didn't find it. Say you haven't sought a job. And sought is the past tense of seek. You haven't sought a job. Therefore, you haven't found one. But for you to say, I didn't find, you must have looked for something first. If you didn't fetch, you didn't, then you can't say, I didn't find. الخامس والثلاثون أنه من وجد ماء لا يكفي بعض طهارته فإنه يلزمه استعماله ثم يتيمم بعد ذلك. The one who does not find sufficient amount of water to suffice his tahara, his wudu, then he uses whatever he has of this water and then he does tayammum afterwards. Because he has not really done complete wudu. So he uses whatever he has and then he does tayammum. السادس والثلاثون أن الماء المتغير بالطهارات مقدم على التيمم. أي يكون طهورا لأن الماء المتغير ماء فيدخل في قوله فلم تجدوا ماء. Now this is very fiqhi, or jurisprudential. The 36 is that the water which has changed due to other pure substances, Ahsanti Abdul Hadi, being inserted into it, is given precedence over tayammum. Who can give me an example of water which has been mixed with another pure substance that changes it?
The water is tea.
I'm sorry?
Tea.
Okay. Tea, orange juice. Ah, sah. This is water that has been changed by something tahir, that is pure in and of itself. That should be given precedence over tayammum. Why? Because it is pure. And the water which has been changed by something else which is pure remains to be water. It remains to be water. And so that is understood in the statement, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً. If you do not find water, that is still considered to be water. السابع والثلاثون أنه لا بد من نية التيمم لقوله فتيمموا أي اقصدوا. The 37th is that it is inevitable that you have a niyyah. You must have an intention to do tayammum. Because Allah said tayammamu, meaning intend, have the intention to do tayammum. الثامن والثلاثون أنه يكفي التيمم بكل ما تصاعد على وجه الأرض من تراب وغيره. It is sufficient, or it will suffice you to do tayammum with whatever is on the surface of the earth or other than that. Whether it is dust or other than that. Meaning you don't have to go fetch for a desert-like area or some dirty place and go and, you know, dip your hands in some dust and then wipe your face and your hands with it. It doesn't have to be like that. Any surface is acceptable. Yes, according to many of the ulama, anything. Alaykum salam. Well, you found us by the qadr of Allah. Welcome. Assalamu alaykum. طيب فامسحوا فيكون على هذا قول فامسحوا بوجوهكم وأيديكم من أي إما من باب التغليب وأن الغالب أن يكون له غبار بمسح منه ويعلق بالوجه واليدين وأما أن يكون إرشادا للأفضل وأنه إذا أمكن التراب الذي فيه غبار فهو أولى. Beautiful. If this is understood, which is the permissibility of using anything, then we understand this statement of Allah Azza wa Jal of when He said, so wipe your faces and your hands with it. He said, this is indicating that this is the most common situation. The most common situation is that whatever surface you touch, is it going to be dusty or not? It's going to be dusty. Allah, right now, clean your house. And half an hour later, start checking the place, you find dust starting to accumulate over the same items again. So the Shaykh saying that that means any surface almost right now, if I go like this, it's going to be some dust. And therefore the ayah is referring to that which is most common. And that when you do wipe your face in your hands, you will have some remnants of that dust on your face. Or it could be that Allah is guiding us to the best. Meaning if you're able to find a place that is dusty or that has actually dirt, sand, then that would be better. That would be better. But it is not necessarily a condition for the validity of tayammum. It's just a matter of preference. التاسع والثلاثون أنه لا يصلح التيمم بالتراب النجس لأنه لا يكون طيبا بل خبيثا. It is impermissible to do tayammum with impure dirt or sand, because that would make it خبيث and not طيب. And Allah said طيبا صعيدا طيبا. So who can give us an example of some impure dirt? Yes?
Not with water.
I'm sorry?
Mud with water.
Mud with water? No. What makes it impure?
Dog has urinated.
Yes. Where the animals have urinated, a dog has urinated or something like that. That makes it impure. Sahih? Or not sahih? Actually, it differs, by the way. The scholars say, and this is one opinion, the the things which come out of halal animals are pure, and the things which come out of haram animals are impure. That's why you can pray in the stable of camels and sheep, and there's some special virtues actually mentioned in the hadith in regards to that. Even though it's a place where it's predominantly going to have the, you know, whatever comes out of the sheep. Now, so there's a difference among the scholars as to whether that urine or that feces or other things are actually halal or haram, or afwan, najis or tahir, pure or impure, depending on the animal itself. But that's another discussion which we will not go into now. So don't ask any questions. Barakallahu feekum. Al-arba'un annahu yumsahu fi tayammum al-wajh wal-yadan faqat duna baqiyati al-a'dha. You can only wipe the face and the hands in tayammum, and you do not wipe the rest of your body. And this is a very serious area, because I've come across some of our brothers, may Allah rectify our condition, and theirs, that are very lenient in this regard. Yani they don't understand the seriousness of not fulfilling the obligations of wudu, let's just speak of wudu, or going overboard. So you see some people who are too lazy when they make wudu. You see this all the time in the hammamat of the masajid. That the person will, while wearing his slippers, he goes and he puts his right one under the water, and he goes like this a couple of times, and then he goes with the left one like this, and khalas. Taibi Azizi, you know the chances of you not having water, not cover your whole foot, very high. Because you're wearing a slipper, and it could be stuck against your skin in some area. So the water didn't make it to. Where's the sunnah of putting your finger between your toes? Where's the washing to make sure that you've actually, you know, rubbed your foot so that the water goes everywhere? And that's one example of negligence. Another example of going overboard is people who wear socks. I've seen this person wear socks, and when it came time to wipe it over the socks, he wiped both feet three times, top and bottom. The top of the sock, then the bottom. One, two, three. I said, "What are you doing, Yaqi?" He said, "I'm wiping." He said, "What is this wiping of yours? This is no such thing as wiping. You wipe only once." He said, "Why? Wash three times, you wipe three times." So this is one of the times you get into a debate with someone, and then one of you goes to prison, right? But you don't want to do that. So you just kind of, the brother doesn't know. So brother, it's not a matter of your intellect, barakallahu feek. You don't do this qiyas right now, because we have something specific of the sunnah. So when you have something specific from the sunnah, you go by the sunnah. You don't insert your intellect into this issue, because it will lead you astray. It will lead you astray. So this is going overboard. It's not allowed. So we have to stick to the sunnah. Someone said, "Yaqi, but is it possible that only the hands and face for tayammum? But I feel, let me just do my feet as well, and let me do my..." Brother, Allah said your hands and face, khalas. Okay, don't let the shaitan play games with you and tell you maybe this is not enough. That's what waswas is. That's the waswas of the shaitan. That's not enough. Allah's not gonna, because you find the person doing tayammum the whole time in the salah, he's afraid that his salah is invalid. Why? He didn't make wudu. Why he did tayammum? Allah told you in the Quran, do tayammum, khalas, do tayammum, go do salah. Don't think about it. Don't open the door for the shaitan to be playing games with you and tricks with you. You have to know how to close that door. Because many people are trapped in this regard. Huh? So be firm upon your deen. Hey. Al-Hadi wal-Arba'un, anna qawlahu biwujuhikum shamilun lijami' al-wajhi wa annahu yu'immuhu bil-mashi. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, your face encompasses the whole face, so you encompass your whole face when wiping in tayammum. إلا أنه معفو عن إدخال التراب في الفم والأنف وفيما تحت الشعور ولو خفيفة. Beautiful. However, one is exempt from putting dirt in his mouth, nose, or under the hair, even if his beard is light. Even if it's not a thick beard, even if it's a little bit, you don't have to go and make sure that there's dirt in there, nor put dirt in your nose, nor in your mouth. It's just wiping over the face. الثاني والأربعون أن اليدين تمسحان إلى الكوعين فقط لأن اليدين عند الإطلاق كذلك فلو كان يشترط إيصال مسح إلى الذراعين لقيده الله بذلك كما قيده في الوضوء. طيب. who knows how to do tayammum here? تفضل يا شيخ عبد المجيد.
White parts, the whole face. Second time white, do like this.
خلاص. Who disagrees? Raise your hand. خلاص. That's the second fatwa. Third. Abdul Aziz. Wa alaikum salam. This class is being recorded. Be careful. You're on a public. Member platform. Marhaban Abdul Aziz. طيب. The Sheikh said, pay attention now. The two hands are to be wiped up to the elbows. Only. Because when the hands, when we say hands in the Arabic language, it usually refers up to the elbows. And had it been conditional to wipe the arm, the whole arm, dhira'. This is your dhira'. Huh? If it were obligatory to wipe the whole arm, then Allah Azza wa Jal would have specified that. No. Wait a second. What happened here? Is it up to the arms?
No, it is
The arms.
We don't.
You say you put up to the elbows, he put up to the elbows. Where do you get that from? With the up to the elbows. Type, is there a difference of opinion among the scholars?
No,
there is that. I don't think that. Hey. Just because you weren't there in the class doesn't mean he didn't say that. By the way, this is a very famous opinion. But how many opinions do we have? Let's do some Arabic vocabulary. What is a dhira'?
Dhira'.
And what is a ku'?
This one.
طيب, what is a yad?
Arm.
What is a katif? Ha! Huh? Katif!
Shoulder!
And which also known as mankib. Mankib. But listen, the Sheikh is saying, had it been obligatory to wash the hands up until the elbows, Allah would have specified that, as He did with wudu. The fact that that was not mentioned refers that you only wash your hands and you do not go, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, you do not go up to the elbows. That's the opinion of Sheikh Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di. Not that there aren't other opinions out there, but that's the opinion of the Sheikh. So he said, had it been up to there, then that would have been sufficient. Had it been necessary to do up to the elbows, then Allah would have mentioned that, as Allah mentioned that in the wudu. But that wasn't mentioned. What does the ayah say in Surah Al-Wudu? Huh? وَأَيْدِيكُمْ أُفَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. So Allah mentioned that specifically. That wasn't mentioned here. They only said يَدَيْن. So then his sheikh said, you cannot add what you added to the wudu when that addition was not made. So the ayah said yadain, you restrict yourself to the yadain and the wajh. It's a very strong outlook on things.
الثالث والأربعون أن الآية عامة.
Wait.
How is it done? How do we do? Trying to
right?
Yeah, and then the face and then the hands. From what I know is that you put the back against each other, and then you just wipe your hands. That's what I know. And that's what the Sheikh said. Allah, if you have another opinion, barakallah feek. And you have it from a thiqah, like Dr. Yahya, ma fi mushkila. Because Dr. Yahya is going to be referring to a book, and that book is going to be dealing with fiqh. And it may be presenting the other opinion, or it may be in favor of the other opinion. The Sheikh is not mentioning the khilaf of the ulama here. He's mentioning what he understood from this particular ayah.
The ayah was not mentioned, but the as mentioned with the wife of Jenny.
We go into a lengthy discussion about the interpretation now of al-yadayn. Does yadayn naturally encompass the whole arm, or up to the elbow, or only to the, what do you call that, wrist? This issue, when there's confusion, you present it to Dr. Yahya. In the next class, say, Dr. Yahya, this is what happened. There seems to be another opinion. So, you know, have him explain it further. And then you come back to me with that, you know, wonderful information. Fair enough? Inshallah. الثالث والأربعون أن الآية عامة في جواز التيمم لجميع الأحداث كلها. الحدث الأكبر والأصغر. The ayah is general in doing tayammum for all kinds of events. Events of impurity, be it major or minor. What is major impurity?
Yeah,
okay. Well, asghar, urine, defecation, gas, so forth, so on and so forth. بل ونجاسة البدن. Rather, it also works for the impurity of the body itself. لأن الله جعلها بدلا عن طهارة الماء. Because Allah has made it as a substitute for the purification provided by water. وأطلق في الآية فلم يقيد. And Allah generalized in the ayat and He did not specify. وقد يقال إن نجاسة البدن لا تدخل في حكم التيمم. And some may say that the impurity of the body is not included in the tayammum. لأن السياق في الأحداث هو قول جمهور العلماء. Because the context is speaking about the acts of impurity, and this is the opinion of the majority of the scholars. What the Sheikh is saying that if you had some impurity on your body, when you defecate, or when you pass gas, the impurity is what? It's not in your body, it's gone. Now, or by then. So you don't have anything filthy on your body. So the wudu is for what? For that impurity which is the result of passing gas. However, if you had some impurity on your body physically, let's say you had fallen into one of them sewage holes or something. So the Sheikh is saying, now does the tayammum, does it cover that as well? Can you do tayammum and that will provide you with an impurity? Huh? You become impure in a sense that you're ready for salah, and impure in a sense that najasa is gone. Mind you don't have any water. That's why you're doing tayammum to begin with. You can't shower. So he's saying that some scholars or some of the position mentions yes. Because Allah did not specify what kind of tahara it provides. So it encompasses both. The one you needed for your wudu and the one which is a result of najasa on your body. But Jumhur ulama are saying no, because the context of the ayah speaking about wudu and purification. So you cannot include the physical impurity in this context. Clear? Doesn't look like it, but no problem.
So in this case, how can you make salah? For example, if you take the opinion of the majority of the ulama, that the body is still impure, and there's no water.
Excellent question, bro. That's a valid question. And that may really make it at that particular point. Give precedence to the other opinion, because that does create a conflict. If you have some najasana on your body which you cannot remove, how will you remove it?
Like in the state of janaba, there's sexual intercourse with your wife, some stains in your clothes.
No, I mean the semen itself is pure, according to many of the ulama. What is impure is the madhi and the things which come out prior to the ejaculation, prior to the actual semen. That which comes out first, which is like this kind of sticky, transparent material, this is the one that is najis. But many of the ulama are of the opinion that the semen itself, al-mani, itself is tahir. Anyways, that's too fiqhi, and it's a tafsir class. So we'll keep the fiqhi for the fiqh teacher. الرابع والأربعون أن محل التيمم في الحدث الأصغر والأكبر واحد هو الوجه واليدين واليدان عفوا. The place where you do tayammum, whether it is a minor impurity or a major impurity, is the same. Your face and your hands. That doesn't change. الخامس والأربعون أنه لو نوى من عليه حدثان التيمم عنهما فإنه يجزئ أخذا من عموم الآية وإطلاقها. If someone intends by doing tayammum to get rid of both impurities, the major and the minor, then that would be sufficient for him, as per the general understanding of the ayah. السادس والأربعون أنه يكفي المسح بأي شيء كان بيده أو غيرها لأن الله قال فامسحوا ولم يذكر الممسوح به فدل على جوازه بكل شيء. That it is permissible to wipe with anything, your hand or other than that, because Allah Azza wa Jal said, so wipe. And He did not mention the tool with which you wipe. So that means it's permissible to use anything. Use a phone, remote control, a stick, whatever. It does not have to be with your hand. It does not have to be with the hand because you have technically wiped your hands and face even if you're using a third object or a third party object. Okay? You don't have to do it. You can use your hands. If it's too confusing for you, don't go fetch it for something. Khalas, use your hands. But if you were to use something else, it's allowed.
نعم. السابع والأربعون اشتراط الترتيب في طهارة التيمم كما يشترط ذلك في الوضوء. ولأن الله بدأ بمسح الوجه قبل مسح اليدين.
The obligation of having the sequence. Also, it's obligatory to follow the sequence in tayammum as in wudu. Huh? Because Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned them in this fashion. So you must begin with your face before your hands. You must begin with your face before your hands.
الثامن والأربعون أن الله تعالى فيما شرعه لنا من الأحكام لم يجعل علينا في ذلك من حرج ولا مشقة ولا عسر وإنما هو رحمة منه بعباده ليطهرهم وليتم نعمته عليهم وهذا هو. That Allah Azza wa Jalla, in what He has legislated for slaves of rulings, He did not make any difficulty or hardship in there, nor any hardship. Rather, it is mercy from Allah upon His slaves to purify them, and so that He may fulfill or complete His favors upon them. And this is exactly what that is. The tayammum is easy. Isn't it easy that you don't find water, and all you have to do is strike your face? And strike the surface of something, and then wipe your face and your hands. It's pretty easy. So this is facilitation from Allah Azza wa Jal. But still, there's something that needs to be done for the tahara. التاسع والأربعون أن طهارة الظاهر بالماء والتراب تكميل لطهارة الباطن بالتوحيد والتوبة النصوح. The purification of the outwardly with water and dirt, or with water and sand, if we may say, is only a completion or supplementary to the or complementary to the purification internally, internal purification of tawbah, of tawheed, and sincere repentance. Yani one will purify himself internally with tawheed and repentance to Allah, and externally with water and sand. It's only a completion, completes it. الخمسون أن طهارة تيمم وإن لم يكن فيها نظافة وطهارة تدرك بالحس والمشاهدة فإن فيها طهارة معنوية ناشئة عن امتثال أمر الله تعالى.
Fantastic. The طهارة through تيمم, even though it is not really technically a form of cleanliness, it's not something that is really clean. I mean, you're putting dirt on your face and your hands. It's not something that is usually clean or something or the form of purification which you can see, like in wudu. In your wudu, when you wash your hands and your face and you're cleaning yourself, صح? So even though, I mean, you can see the traces of that purification on your body, that is not the case with the tayammum. Even though you don't see a sign of cleanliness because of tayammum, there is, however, a non-tangible or intangible, abstract purification which is based on obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. So the act of fulfilling Allah's command of doing tayammum provides an abstract form of purification based on that obedience. Even though if physically it may not be seen on your face because you didn't wash your face. The last one الحادي والخمسون the 51st
أنه ينبغي للعبد أن يتدبر الحكمة والأسرار في شرائع الله في الطهارة وغيرها ليزداد معرفة وعلما ويزداد شكرا لله ومحبة له على ما شرع من الأحكام التي توصل العبد إلى المنازل العالية الرفيعة. That it's upon the slave to contemplate and reflect upon the wisdom and the secrets that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed in the legislation of purification and other than that. So he may increase in his knowledge and he may increase in his thankfulness to Allah and his love for Allah Azza wa Jalla due to what he has legislated of the rulings which will enable the slave to make it to the lofty destinations
or lofty abode. Now, or actually degrees here.
So these are the 51 benefits and rulings that the Shaykh rahimahullah deduced from this one ayah, single ayah. And this is how the scholars are. Then Allah Azza wa Jal said in ayah number 7, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَمِيثَاقَهُ الَّذِي وَاثَقَكُمْ بِهِ إِذْ قُلْتُمْ سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. The seventh ayah reads,
and remember the favor of Allah upon you and His covenant with which He bound you when you said, we hear and obey. And fear Allah, indeed Allah is knowing of that within the breasts.
يأمر تعالى, the Shaykh says, يأمر تعالى عباده بذكر نعمه الدينية والدنيوية بقلوبهم وألسنتهم. Allah commands His slaves to mention His worldly and religious favors upon them. And they should mention that with their hearts and tongues. فَإِنَّ فِي اسْتِدَامَةِ ذِكْرِهَا دَاعِيًا لِشُكْرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَمَحَبَّتِهِ وَامْتِلَاءِ الْقَلْبِ مِنْ إِحْسَانِهِ. Because in the continuous remembrance of that is an inviter to the thankfulness of Allah and the love of Allah, and for the heart to be filled with the ihsan and the greatness of Allah and the mercy and the blessings of Allah. وَفِيهِ زَوَالٌ لِلْعُجْبِ مِنَ النَّفْسِ بِالنِّعَمِ الدِّينِيَّةِ وَزِيَادَةٍ لِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَإِحْسَانِهِ. And it also means to avoid self-admiration in regards to the religious favors. And rather a person will increase in acknowledging the virtue and the blessings of Allah and His mercy and excellence towards us. وَمِيثَاقَهُ أَيْ وَذْكُرُوا مِيثَاقَهُ الَّذِي وَثَقَكُمْ بِهِ. The covenant. Remember the covenant which He had, which He made you, which He bound, or you were bound to. أَيْ عَهَدَهُ الَّذِي أَخَذَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. The covenant which He has taken with you. وليس المراد بذلك أنهم لفظوا ونتقوا بالعهد والميثاق. It is not intended that they verbally said anything in regards to this covenant. It doesn't have to be a verbal discussion someone had with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Obviously, that's not possible. وإنما المراد بذلك أنهم بإيمانهم بالله ورسوله عفوا. قَدْ إِلْتَزَمُوا طَاعَتِهِمَا.
But the covenant is based on the fact that once we believed in Allah and His Messenger, then we have actually taken the covenant of obeying them. So the belief is that covenant. Once you say, I believe, then the byproduct of this statement of ours is that now we have to obey. Doesn't have to be that we tell Allah, okay, we accept this covenant from you and things of the sort. The very act of belief necessitates or generates this covenant between us and Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ إِذْ قُلْتُمْ سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. When you have said, that's what Allah said. When you have said, us, يعني, the believers, we ask Allah to make us among them. We have heard and we have obeyed.
أي سمعنا ما دعوتنا به من آياتك القرآنية والكونية سمع فهم وإذعان وانقياد. Meaning we have heard what you have invited us to of your Quranic verses and your universal signs. The hearing of understanding and submission and humbleness. وأطعنا ما أمرتنا به بالامتثال وما نهيتنا عنه بالاجتناب. And we have obeyed by carrying out what you have commanded and avoiding what you have prohibited by leaving it alone. وهذا شامل لجميع شرائع الدين الظاهرة والباطنة. And this encompasses all of the teachings of the legislation, the internal and the external. وأن المؤمنين يذكرون في ذلك عهد الله وميثاقه عليهم وتكون منهم على بال. And that the believers are always bringing to mind the covenant they have with Allah Azza wa Jal, and therefore it's something that they're mindful of. It's something that is always on their mind. They're cautious. They're conscious of it. نعم. ويحرصون على أداء ما أمروا به كاملا غير ناقص. And they strive to carry out what they were commanded in a perfect, complete sense without any deficiency. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي جَمِيعِ أَحْوَالِكُمْ And fear Allah in all of your affairs. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ Verily Allah is knowing of what is within the breasts. أي ما تنطوي عليه من الأفكار والأسرار والخواطر Meaning what the chests contain of secrets and thoughts and anything. The thoughts and the ideas and the secrets, they're known to Allah. فَاحْذَرُوا أَن يَطَّلِعَ مِنْ قُلُوبِكُمْ عَلَى أَمْرٍ لَا يَرْضَاهُ So be careful of Allah Azza wa Jal seeing in your hearts that which is not pleasing to Him. We're in trouble. أَوْ يَصْدُرَ مِنْكُمْ مَا يَكْرَهُ Or that something happens or you do something which He hates. وَعْمِرُوا قُلُوبَكُمْ بِمَعْرِفَتِهِ وَمَحَبَّتِهِ وَالنُّصْحِ الْعِبَادِ And construct your hearts and build your hearts with knowing Him and loving Him and advising His slaves. فَإِنَّكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ كَذَلِكَ غَفَرَ لَكُمُ السَّيَّاتِ If you are like that, then Allah shall forgive you your sins. وَضَاعَفَ لَكُمُ الْحَسَنَاتِ And He will multiply your good deeds لِعِلْمِهِ بِصَلَاحِ قُلُوبِكُمْ Because He knows about the righteousness and of your hearts. The righteousness, the piety, the soundness, that's the word I've been looking for, the soundness of your heart. Because the opposite of a sound heart is a corrupt heart. Or a dead heart, diseased heart, corrupt heart, dead heart, or a sound heart. Wallahu al-musta'an. So inshaAllah ta'ala, with this we conclude this dars. And we have stopped at ayah number 7. InshaAllah, if you all remain alive and healthy, we'll be dealing with ayat 8, 9, and hopefully 10 and 11 in the next session. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wait a second, sir.